Hi, y'all. Welcome back to Samantha's Beauty Confessions. Before we get into today's episode, I want to pause and ask you to open up whatever platform that you're listening on and just make sure that you're following the show. I've said this before, but the show has more listeners than it does followers, and so I just wanted to throw out a quick little reminder for you. And while I'm on this topic, if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, and if you have a couple of extra minutes, would you mind going in and leaving a rating and review? You don't have to write anything crazy. I promise I'm not expecting any like long novel love note type things, although I would appreciate that. But maybe just tell me what your favorite episode is so far, or somebody that you'd like to hear about, or a topic that you're interested in for future episodes. But basically, these ratings and reviews are the things that are going to help the podcast continue growing and continue reaching new people, and I just really, really appreciate it. Today, we actually have our first repeat guest. I am talking to Madeline Evergreen, who is a human design reader, and she was on episode 32 talking about all things human design. But today, our conversation is going to look completely different. So for anybody who missed episode 32, I'll briefly fill you in just on what human design is. And full transparency, I'm using a definition that I got on Google because I didn't want to mess it up. But basically, it gives you a detailed blueprint of how your energy is designed, how you're unique, what your gifts are, what your life purposes are, all the things. And after our first episode, Madeline actually did a one-on-one chart reading with me, and that's what you'll be hearing today. So anybody who's been around me recently, like specifically in the last couple of months, you've probably heard me talk about human design in one way or another. I'm completely fascinated with it, and I think everybody should look into it at least once in their life because of how accurate it really is. And I wanted to say, just in case anyone's listening and after today's episode becomes interested in getting a one-on-one reading done, that each one of these readings is going to be a little bit different, okay? Each one of us has a different chart. Each one of us is at a different place in our lives, has different goals. And that is what is so cool, in my opinion, about human design is it specifically speaks to you. It goes off of your birth chart, the time, the location. There's so many things that play into it. And I don't want to pretend like I know all of them because I don't. But I just want to make sure that it's clear that what Madeline says to me today is not necessarily how your reading will go, okay? They're very, very unique to you. And they all have different focuses. They all take into consideration where you're at in your life, where you want to go, what you're struggling with, all the things. And also, Madeline and I only covered a small portion of my chart today, which is crazy. But all the information she shared was so accurate. And again, I was just so fascinated with it that I wanted to share it with all of you. So let's go ahead and welcome Madeline to the podcast. Welcome to Samantha's Beauty Confessions, where we engage in authentic conversations and confess everything it takes to turn our dreams into a reality. Together, we'll unlock your unique beauty and guide you toward living the life of your dreams. Get ready to go beyond the highlight reel, embrace the journey, and grow together, one conversation at a time. Hi, Madeline.
Hi, Samantha. I'm so excited to be back and to be doing your chart reading today.
I know. I'm so excited. I knew immediately when we hung up our last conversation, I knew that I wanted to have you back on. So thank you for being here. And if you want to just kind of explain what we're going to be doing today and what people can expect from the episode.
Totally. So what we're doing today is a human design chart reading of your chart. And so this is just like what I would do normally in a one-on-one private session with somebody. And what you and also your listeners are going to get out of this is a lot of understanding as to why you are the way you are and why certain things in your history have or haven't worked for you. And hopefully this is going to kind of like jumpstart you a few decades ahead of having to do even more like self-discovery and figuring out like who really is Samantha. And instead, when you learn your human design chart, you kind of just get an understanding of like, what's your user manual telling you? Like, what's your actual blueprint for your life? And how can you just start using that now rather than having to do so much more trial and error?
Which we know I need. I need all the help I can get in that department.
Oh my gosh, don't we all? Wow. So I've been listening to some of your recent episodes, and you tell a lot about your story and how you've evolved in your career and just a lot of really interesting personal growth types of things. And I'm excited to dive into your chart because some of this is going to explain why certain things you've experienced maybe didn't work for you and why certain things did. And it might help you feel a little bit more validated in that and just more clear about what's been going on. And then we're also going to talk about a bunch of things that you probably haven't heard of in your design. And I would love for you to speak up and definitely let me know if something doesn't really align with you or if it doesn't make sense or it doesn't sound right, because that's always where you'll get the best benefit.
Okay.
Okay, so never just like skim over something and think like, eh, maybe that's not for me. No, that's like where we want to dig in, because that's probably going to be like either that I'm explaining it poorly or you probably have conditioning in that area that's been holding you back.
I'm
Okay.
excited. I'm so excited.
Great. Okay. Should we just jump right in?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. So we're going to start with the most basic and the biggest part of your chart, which is your energy type. And there are five different energy types in human design, and you are called a projector. So this is not your whole personality. This is not everything about you. This is just simply how your energy operates and where you get energy from and where your energy easily leaks. So it's going to help you to feel more, not necessarily energetic, but just like you know where to put your energy and how to maximize it. So, as a projector, you can think of yourself as someone with a lot of unique perspectives. You have a lot of good advice to give. And that's because you are here to provide a very special point of view on things. So, you have your own, like Samantha's unique point of view that you see things differently. And that's your biggest energetic contribution to the world, is actually to help make systems or anything improve in a way that you could see it getting better. So this doesn't mean that you have like the best perspective on everything in the world. It just means that whatever you naturally can like look at and take apart and kind of tinker with and figure out how it could be better just by observation, or it might even just feel obvious to you, that's where you want to put your energy. Does that make sense so
For
far?
sure. Yes,
Okay.
definitely.
And everybody has a unique perspective and everybody can make improvements, but for a projector, this is really like the main reason why you're here as a human, is to help make improvements to the world in the way that you see things could be better. So what this means is that you are a person who doesn't necessarily have loads of energy. You don't create a lot of energy. There are different energy types that actually do create energy, like for example, a generator. Their job is actually to generate energy and give that to you and everybody else. So it's not your role to be high energy and to be creating a bunch of energy for everybody. So, one thing, I don't know you super well personally, but I have heard you talk about that in your past when you were doing certain tours you were on and certain classes, how you would get so burnt out and exhausted. That's something that happens to a lot of projectors for different reasons. One, maybe the topic just wasn't your thing and it just wasn't fueling you. Or two, maybe you were the main energy driver of the group, and that's not necessarily wise for a projector. It doesn't mean that you can't teach a class or go on a tour. It means that if you were doing it in a way where you were really bringing the energy, that's not going to be sustainable for you. And it also won't land that well for other people. So, when you do go out teaching classes, or if you're going to be on some sort of tour like that, it would be best if you put yourself in the role of, I'm here to share a unique perspective as a projector. I have a very special way of seeing things, and I'm here to share that and teach it. I'm not here to be like high vibe and pump everybody up with energy. And that can actually be anyone's role. Like, that could be the role of one of the students. That could be the role of the host person. It really could be anybody. It doesn't matter if it's the person, quote unquote, in charge or leading the group. It kind of seems like it's that way, but truthfully, that's not how the world works. So when you go into your teaching or into anything that you do with clarity that you're here as a projector to share your unique perspective on how to make improvements, it will land for people. You're not going to be very burnt out at all. And it's going to be attractive on you, meaning it will really come across well and it will just keep like growing if you want it to. Does that make sense so far?
Yeah, because I just, I think it was like two episodes ago, but I just did a tour and, well, actually who knows how many episodes it'll be when this comes out, but I talked about how I did a tour on more like the social media, and the tour I talked about that really broke me down was on hair color. And so, yeah, I think it was definitely just not the topic that I was passionate about and that really like lit me up, because I noticed a big difference in how my body felt this time versus, you know, 2 years ago.
Definitely. And that can for sure happen for anybody, but definitely a projector. If you're putting too much energy into something that doesn't really juice you up, and it doesn't even have to be logical, like it doesn't have to make sense why you are or aren't interested in a certain thing. But if it's just the truth that that feels a little bit more exhausting. For a projector, you have to be super cautious about that, because you're not here like creating a lot of energy. So you have to treat your energy like it's very precious. And the other aspect of this for projectors is that you get a lot of energy from very good people, like high vibe, happy, aligned, healthy humans that are doing their work, and they're really good people. And technically what I'm saying is that you are going to get your energy from generators and manifesting generators. So those are other energy types who are aligned, but you're not ever going to know who those people are unless you just know everyone's charts. And so you can just sense, is this a person with good energy that is actually making me feel better by being in their presence? And you can think of those people as your batteries. Like they really do operate that way, where their good energy is going to power you. So the opposite of that would be if you're around people that suck your energy or suck your soul, or they're just super negative or living in a way that brings you down. For a projector, that's pretty detrimental. Certain people can tolerate that more than others. Projectors don't do well with much of that.
Yeah, I can. That 100% aligns, because I do sometimes question, like, am I just, I don't know the word, like a weak person because I can't be around this type of feeling. But no, I guess it makes sense that I have lower tolerance for it than an average person would, or a different type would.
Yeah. Yeah. And the truth is that like everybody is affected by those people. But again, projectors have to be protective of their own energy, like big time. So one tip would be just to take some inventory of your life and notice if there's like a continuous draining person around. You don't have to cut people out. You don't have to end the relationship necessarily, but just be aware that that might be one reason why you're not doing well if you're not. And then if you notice, wow, there's these certain people who I always feel better after, like plant those people in your life more and it will help you. So the biggest thing that happens out of alignment for projectors is giving too much unsolicited advice. So each of the energy types have something called a strategy. And a strategy is how you make things happen. And it's by far one of the most useful parts of human design to learn. There's a lot of things in human design that are super interesting and fun and kind of like, wow, that's cool. But they're not that impactful on your life. The strategy is huge. Okay. If you just implement this, I'm going to guess your entire life will improve like forever. So for you, your strategy of how you make anything happen is by waiting for the invitation. And what that means is that you do not give your gifts, your talents, your services, your advice, your wisdom, unless you've been invited. This is a tricky subject for business owners and entrepreneurs and teachers. So if you're feeling like, how do I put myself out there? Then hang on to that and we can talk about it in a few minutes. But essentially, as a projector, you need to wait till somebody has literally said, like, Samantha, could you give me your advice on this? Until you do. Like, you don't want to be ever sharing your unique perspective on things without that. And it can be really tough because you literally see the world through the lens of how things could be better. That's just like your permanent operating system through your eyes, like through all your senses, you're constantly picking up on what could be improved and what do I think about that. And the truth is that you're right. Like, I've learned the projectors in my life are basically always right. And if I just put down my ego and listen to them, their advice works. So it's true. Like, you are right. But if you're giving any sort of advice or wisdom, or you're pushing your gifts on people or pushing your services in a way that feels unsolicited, people don't like that. And they immediately start having really bad energy towards you. And you start kind of losing your energy and you just can't succeed. So before I go on, what do you think about that?
I definitely have had to learn through just trial and error with that. Just, I think at first I thought it was maybe just because my delivery was too blunt or something like that, but maybe it is just because it wasn't invited or like asked about or anything like that. So I have had to learn just through as I've gotten older and just been through different situations to bite my tongue in most situations unless otherwise, told differently.
Totally. And I've heard from lots of projectors who feel really, really burdened or almost like haunted by this because it's so in front of your mind. Like, I really can see how it could be improved, and it's really frustrating or makes me feel bitter when people aren't asking me for advice or they're not responding well to it. So the way for you to get around that is to stop at all putting energy and focus into what everybody else is doing and just spend your time focusing on yourself and do things that you actually want to do, or do a lot more resting and a lot more self-care focus. Projectors need a lot of rest, and that doesn't always mean that you need sleep. It could, but it means that you need to not output a lot. So, not outputting or quote unquote rest could look like reading, or it could look like exercising, or it could look like sleeping, or taking a bath, or studying, or actually preparing for your classes that you're going to teach. It just would look like you doing something that for you feels effortless, good, energizing, and soothing, not like I'm giving, 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 giving. Okay. Projectors need to give in a limited amount, like maybe 2 to 3 hours a day max for a lot of projectors, or maybe you work for a week and then you don't work for a week. It can look different ways, but in that non-helping, non-working time, again, projectors are still accomplishing things and living their life, but in a way to them that doesn't feel like output.
Yeah, I feel like in the beginning of my career as a hairstylist, I was working 5 or 6 days a week in the salon. This is before social media became my job, but I was getting a lot of energy types, I'm assuming, in my chair all day long during those days. And I've done a little bit of homework, just like researching my design since our last conversation, and I read that that can lead to me acting like bitter and negative and just not myself because I haven't given myself what I need. And I definitely relate to that. I notice a big difference in my mood and just my everyday ability to function when I am more strategic with how I'm spending my time.
Totally, totally. That's a really good point there. So, one thing that you can do when you're thinking about like getting business, like getting clients or even followers or, anybody that's going to be your someone that's going to pay you. Normally in the world, you're taught to like go out there and advertise or market yourself or put yourself out there or like really be like asking. And it's not that you can't do that. It's just that when you start to notice that you're getting a lot of invitations for your work, like, hey, could you come to my salon? Or hey, could you be on my podcast? Or hey, could I be on yours? Or can I work with you? Can you do my hair? Like those kind of invitations. When you get those, you always know, like, okay, good. This is a sign I'm in alignment and this is working. People are inviting me rather than the other way around. And you don't always have to say yes to an invitation. You just want to recognize I'm getting an invitation and that's good. That's how my energy operates. But then let's say you're not getting a lot of invitations, or you're not like you want to book a tour or something. So you have to actually take action for real. First of all, emphasize focusing on yourself during that period. Like truly do things in your free time and your spare time that you love and that you want to be doing, and start mastering your own crafts. And it doesn't have to be logical. It could literally be anything. Like if you become obsessed with oil painting, and that doesn't have to do with your business, doesn't matter. Like do what you really love and what you really want to be doing in your personal time. And that is going to really pump up your projector aura and make you a much more magnetic and attractive human being that other people will flock to with invitations. Mm-hmm. Then when you do go out and market yourself, like maybe you do need to call up salons or whatever you normally would do, you do it in the way, like almost like you're asking for an invitation. So you might say like, hey, I'm going on a tour. Would you like me to stop by your salon? Here are some dates available. Would you like that? And then it's kind of like you're asking them to say like, yes, will you come to my salon? Mm-hmm. It's sort of a workaround. It's not perfect, but it's so much better looking on you than if you were to be like, who wants to book me? And if you're like shouting it out all over everywhere and like reaching out to literally everybody and kind of having like a grabby attitude, which does actually work for some people. It's not mm-hmm. like that's just wrong, but for a projector, it should be more like, who wants to invite me? Mm-hmm. I'm available. Who wants me?
Someone take the offer. Yeah.
Yes. Does that make sense?
For sure. Definitely.
And it can even be a better tool if you were hiring. I'm not sure how your business works, but if you actually have a different person doing that and you're not even involved, like get somebody who's like a manifester or a generator or a manifesting generator in that role. And they are usually going to be great at going out and like bringing in the business. Mm-hmm. Not that a projector can't, it's just, it's a different energy.
That definitely makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Cool. So any questions about that, or should we move forward?
No, I think we can move forward.
Okay. I want to jump to a piece of your chart that's a little bit random, but it popped into my mind a few times when I heard you respond to what we were talking about. Everybody has a strongest sense in human design. So we have these different senses, like outer vision is one of them in human design, inner vision, touch, taste. They're kind of like the regular senses, but a little bit expanded. And we all have all the senses, but your strongest one is called feeling. So this means that the strongest sense that you have of the world is picking up on vibes and feelings. As opposed to mine, like I have the strongest sense of touch. I really sense the world when my hands get on things. I pick up a lot more information. For you, you're super sensitive to other people's vibes and other people's feelings and their energy. And so this is even like enhancing a lot of what we've talked about, where if you had all these clients in your chair at the salon, like all day, every day, you're highly affected by their energy, mm-hmm. their vibe, their feelings, which is not a bad thing. It's just a thing to learn to harness as a skill and not to let it just take over on its own. Mm-hmm. So some tips there would be just to start noticing if you do pick up on a vibe or a feeling. And how you would notice it would be like you're at the grocery store and you're standing next to some random man and you just get a creepy vibe for no logical reason. Acknowledge it, you know, in your head privately and just be like, oh, I got a creepy vibe. It's working. Like my sense of feeling is working. I'm picking it up. And then like maybe play with that, like move away from him and see if it goes away, or move towards him and see if it gets bigger, or even try opening up a conversation and see if you get like a sick feeling and you're like, oh my God, like it's overwhelming me the more he talks. And again, it won't be logical. It will be random sensation that you have, or just a knowing.
Mm-hmm.
And when you start to really work with that and notice it and play with it, it will become amplified to the point where it's truly a skill of yours, like just as much of a skill of public speaking.
Mm-hmm.
And you can get so far in life when you harness your strongest sense and like really use it.
Yeah, I feel like I used to, I always said I was intuitive until I got a divorce. And that kind of made me question a lot of stuff about my intuition, because I was like, wait, I know I'm intuitive, but how did I miss all of this? So mm-hmm. I don't know, maybe there's something else in my chart where doubt comes in, or like believing in the goodness of people or something, that I just completely must have missed that feeling, because I know I had it. It was almost just like I didn't want to believe it, and so I chose not to.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's really fascinating as I look at your chart, because there's many different aspects of the chart that show intuition like stuff, I'll call it. The human design chart is so complex, and there is one tiny aspect that is literally like labeled intuition.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be kind of housed in something called the sacral center, if anybody knows what that is. If you don't know, doesn't matter. But we're going to talk about a few different places where outside of human design terminology, intuition really plays in.
Okay.
So for you, the best way to make decisions is from your emotions. So when you listen to your emotions, that is going to be like the voice of your intuition. This is called your authority. Everybody has an authority in human design, and I like to think of it as your boss, not like one of your employees or some random thing, but like this is the big boss that makes all the decisions.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be for you emotions, and I'm going to explain that more in a moment. What it wouldn't be is logic or like a gut instinct or just like a snap reaction. It's like in the moment, like a lot of people say, listen to your gut or make smart choices. Like not that for you.
Okay.
And I'll explain why. There's an exact reason why in a moment. But for you, it's all about emotion, which really goes well with your strongest sense of feeling, because you're picking up other people's vibes and kind of emotion-like stuff as well. So when you have the emotional authority to make a decision, you tune into yourself when you're in a neutral kind of state. So you're not really high emotionally. You're not really low emotionally. You're just kind of in the middle, and you're like, yeah, I feel pretty neutral right now. And then you ask yourself, how would I feel if I were to make this decision? Like, if I were to move across the country. And if you feel emotions like happy and gratitude or love or glad, then that's a yes for you. That's the end of the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
There's no more questions. Zippo, we're done now. It doesn't mean you have to make that choice. It just means that your body is telling you that's correct. It doesn't mean it's logical. It means that in the moment right now, that's a yes. And that's a good thing to remember or listen to. But let's say you tuned in and you said, how would I feel emotionally if I were to move across the country? And you get like a pit in your stomach of like sickness, and you might even feel like depressed or really ungrateful or resentful or grief. That's a no. And mm-hmm. it might not make any sense. Like maybe the whole situation looks perfect on paper, but you have these bad emotions that come up when you think about doing it. It's a no. And what most people will do when they have the emotional authority like you is that they skip over that. They go, how would I feel if I were to move across the country? And they feel like, oh, I'd feel like really bad about that. I feel kind of depressed, but it's a great house and it'll be a good move. And, you know, my friends are there and I'm going to do it. That's not how this works. And so you still have full freedom to do whatever you decide to do. But just know that the way the emotional authority works is just that. Like if it's a low emotion, it's a no. If it's a positive emotion, it's a yes. But you have to come at it while in a neutral state emotionally. So if you're like crying or feeling really depressed that moment, or if you're like ecstatic and feeling overly happy, that will really sway your answer. So it's always a good idea to dump out a bunch of emotion first before doing any kind of big decision making. Like if you need to have a crying session or scream and punch some pillows or do a breath work that gets out a bunch of emotion, or if you need to laugh and like have really happy music on and dance around the house because you're feeling super high, like you got to get a lot of that out till you're like, I feel pretty blah, like pretty neutral. That makes sense.
Yeah. Cause I think that, a lot of times I'm known to change my mind on things. Like I'll make a decision about something. And then a couple of days later, I'll be like, wait, I don't know if that was what I really wanted to do. So then I have to backtrack. So maybe it's because I'm acting when I'm either high or low and not when I'm neutral.
Could be. And the authority in human design doesn't predict the future. So it's not like a crystal ball where it's going to be the correct answer forever. There's just nothing that will ever do that. But how your authority works is that when you make decisions based off of your emotions, so not everybody, but you, it's correct for the present. Like right now is the only thing that's real. The future is actually not real, and neither is the past. That's gone. It's not happening. We're only here. And so when you start to move forward with whatever your emotional authority said today, tomorrow it could change. But the point of following it until it changes is kind of like following breadcrumbs towards the best life ever. And your breadcrumb path might be really like zigzaggy. It's the point isn't to say like, okay, it makes me happy to do this big, huge life-changing decision. And then in a year, maybe that was different now. Maybe you're going to do a different path, or even the next day, maybe you're all of a sudden feeling like, oh, it changed. It's a no now. And you're on a different path. But from step A to step B was correct. And when you look back on your life, when you live this way, you realize, oh my God, I never could have pre-planned this. Like my path to where I arrived to all this success was so random and like kind of like spiraling or zigzagging. But if I had tried to make it linear, it just wouldn't have ever been here. So you do kind of have to get comfortable with like tuning into your emotional authority a lot and keep asking like, is this still where I'm going? Is this still what I want to do? And if you're feeling a true no, then that's okay. Then you just know that you're ready for the next breadcrumb. Like you're going to pivot a little. So we can come back to that some more if you have questions, but I'm going to move on to some other areas that could be explaining some of your intuition stuff.
Okay.
So you have two things. You have an undefined sacral center, which is really about like your gut intuition. Like when people say, listen to your gut, that's what this is. And when it's undefined like yours, it just means that it's not really wise for you to tune in to gut intuition. And then along with that, you have an undefined spleen, which is all about instincts. And people might think that instincts and intuition are the same thing. In human design, instincts aren't really that like gut feeling. Instincts are more like a sudden piece of information, like turn left, just like out of the blue, random, or like get a divorce. Like it just drops into your head in one instance and it kind of feels random. Like who said that? That's what we're talking about when I say instincts in human design. So you don't have consistent access to that kind of like gut intuition and those sort of black and white instincts, meaning when you feel those things, it's really amazing because you're actually psychically picking up on that from other people. It's not coming from inside of you because these centers in your chart are called undefined or they're white. And again, if nobody knows what that means, it doesn't matter. The most important thing to understand is that for you, if you get like a hit of information that just feels like it is like an intuition or an instinct, listen to it, go away and be alone and judge what you think about that from your emotions. Go back to your emotions again and say like, okay, I just got this like hit that told me like, get a divorce or whatever it is. I'm just picking something random.
Mm-hmm.
How does it make me feel to do that? Oh, it makes me feel terrible. Oh, then that's not mine. That's not for me. Mm-hmm. Oh, it makes me feel really, really happy. Oh, maybe that was coming in for me. Okay, let me play with that. And if you always follow, or if you try to follow your like intuition from your body, so that's like that gut feeling of like my body is like really telling me it's a yes, and it's not an emotion, it's like a body sensation. Or if you get like these like voices telling you it's a yes, but it's not emotional at all, be suspicious, because it's not wrong. It's just that you're literally soaking that up from other people. You are a sponge for other people's intuition and their instincts, and it will feel like yours, but you're just sponging it up, and then you can judge what you want to do with it. Ignore it, use it, tell it to somebody else, but it's not coming from within you. What really comes from within you intuitively is always going to be paired with emotion. So what do you think about that so far?
So one thing that popped up when you were talking, like asking people's opinions on things is probably not good for me, right?
That is good for you.
Oh, it is? Okay, good. I do that a lot. So I was just kind of making sure that wasn't like out of alignment. I just didn't know. So I wanted to ask that.
Hold on to that question.
Okay.
I want to see if you have any other questions about this, but that's actually great for what we're going to talk about next. Do you know what I mean when I say like a gut feeling?
Yeah, I do, but I feel like I get gut feelings a lot though. Maybe it's because I'm around a lot of people.
Could be, because you're literally a mirror for other people's gut feelings, or you're like a sponge where you will like soak them up and like almost amplify them, mm-hmm. which is a beautiful thing, but it's because you're meant to actually like spread that information along or like tell it to them. Uh-huh. Or share it, but it's not necessarily for
my
you.
Life. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's weird because it comes in the voice of you. Like it will feel like yours. Like it's my body. I feel it.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just how that system operates. And you just know like what's actually yours intuitively will always feel like it's tied to an emotion.
Okay.
And a super helpful tip for people with an emotional authority is to always have a list of all the emotions. And it might seem so basic, like only a child would need this, but no, adults need it too. Like print out a list of all the emotions or have it handy on your phone so you can just like look at it and be like, what do I feel right now? Or what is coming up emotionally? And it's helpful to see all the different emotions that are choices beyond like happy and sad.
That's a good tip. Yeah, because I do get those gut feelings a lot, but I feel like I needed to hear how to differentiate it from my life and then from just like voicing it out loud or helping other people because it's actually theirs.
Yeah, totally. And you can always like test it and be like, okay, I'm getting like a really bad intuitive feeling right now where like I'm like maybe I have like a pit in my stomach or my throat has a lump in it or I just feel like bad vibes. This is a little like nuanced for you, and this will be something for you to really practice because remember, your strongest sense is feeling. So picking up on vibes and feelings, but a strongest sense is not how you make decisions. So it's perfectly fine to sense things like I'm sensing something really bad in the room or really good. Or really whatever. Okay, that's information now. That's not like Samantha's personal boss that's making decision time. This mm-hmm. is just really, really special information that you can go and do something about it. And then what are you going to do about it? You go consult with your emotions. How does mm-hmm. that make me feel? Like, do I want to get out of the room? Would that make me feel happy? No. Oh, well, that's odd. I guess I'm going to stay in the room. Like you really only tune into the emotions as like, remember, that's my boss. That's my decision maker. And then you're highly sensitive and highly attuned to other people's instincts and feelings and vibes and energy that's going on.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not necessarily for you to make a decision based off of.
Mm-hmm.
Make sense?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, then I want to move up to some other parts of your chart that can have to do with like opinions. And you said something about you ask other people their opinions a lot. So you have something called an undefined ajna. I have this too, so I definitely know what this feels like. And it's kind of like your brain. So the ajna center is all about thoughts, opinions, judgments, perspectives, points of view. And when you're like you and I, where that's undefined, that just means that you are not born to have a solid point of view on things. You are born to be open-minded, to see all sides, to see all options, and not really have judgments around them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know about you, but for me, I grew up in a very opinionated family with big points of view. Mm-hmm. And I was really trained on how to like argue my point and be stubborn and like hold a perspective. And when I finally stopped doing that, I couldn't believe how much better my life felt. And I never knew that. So mm-hmm. Do you relate to that at all?
100%. Yes. 1,000,000%.
Okay. So that's a great example of conditioning. Like you and I were probably both conditioned to like have a perspective on things, but that's not going to be wise for you. It doesn't mean that you have no opinions. It means that you truly see all sides and you're very open-minded. So that can be helpful, like when you're trying to pull in some logic around something. Like I heard you say in one of your episodes that you were asking other people their opinion on your curriculum
mm-hmm.
for your classes. Not really a bad idea for somebody like you. It doesn't mean that they have more authority over you or that they're smarter or that they have to make decisions for you. It's just that you're so open-minded and you're open-minded in more ways than just this. I see it in other parts of your chart as well. You're so open-minded that you can truly see so many possibilities for a curriculum that it is actually very difficult to land on something.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I hate making final decisions because I think there's so many other ways to go about doing it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So there's two routes. The best route for you to become more you and to make whatever you're deciding really, really energetically match your energy, which ultimately will land better for your clients as well. The best choice would be to just, instead of asking other people, tune into, does this make me feel happy or unhappy? Like mm-hmm. literally look at like, okay, the second segment of the class I'm planning, like, should it be this or this topic? I don't know. Well, how does it make me feel? And actually pick the one that makes you feel happier. And it might seem like such a dumb way to do it, but for you, it will always work. Like mm-hmm. it will land for your students and it will make your class the best because it's coming from you.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're at all like weary of that, or it's not working, or you just need to have a little bit of that outside validation, which isn't wrong. It's just something to do consciously and on purpose. And sometimes, then great, tune into other people's special version of their logic, because mm-hmm. logic is not a thing for you. I'm not saying you can't use logic. I'm just saying that you don't have a lot of logic in your chart.
Mm-hmm.
You have a lot of intuitive stuff in your chart. And so mm-hmm. if you've got to tune into logic, you might want to ask other really, really logical people what they think of it.
Yeah, for sure. I feel like that sometimes I think that might be my downfall. A lot of times it's like, I am so open-minded and I do see everybody's point of view always, but maybe it's a good thing now mm-hmm. hearing what you just said.
It's totally a good thing. Like everything in your chart can be a good thing. And everything in your chart can also go really badly.
Mm-hmm.
Like you could be so incredibly open-minded that you're just like a carpet and you let everybody walk all over you and you're just a nothing. That's not good.
Right.
But then that's why you go, oh yeah, I make my final decisions from my emotions. Right. Uh-huh. Now I'm not a carpet and now I can make choices and it's unconventional. This is not what they taught me in school.
Mm-hmm.
So you just have to kind of learn that and then pull in other people that do seem logical and have great perspectives and are a little bit like stubborn in their point of view and, you know, play with their ideas.
Mm-hmm.
So something else, I want to switch gears because you had messaged me on Instagram and said something about one of the arrows that felt kind of opposite for you.
Mm-hmm.
So there are these different arrows on the chart that indicate different qualities you have. and you have an arrow that tells you that you're built to be inconsistent. So everybody's either labeled as a consistent person or inconsistent in human design. And what this means is that the way your brain works best is with less scheduling, less routine, less consistent behaviors where like I always do my morning routine at this one time in this one way, or I always work this one exact schedule, or I always work out at these exact classes at these times, or I always eat my meals at these one times. None of that is really how you're built to operate. You absolutely can do those things and you can train yourself to do it, and that will suck your energy out.
Yes, that's why I messaged you, because I was just like, holy cow, like I am doing it all opposite. Like I am trying to schedule everything out. And when I tell you that my energy feels sucked all the way out, like I can't even express it to the degree that it feels because it is so intense. So I was like, when I messaged you, I was like, please help me, give me some tips. And so, yeah, I would love to hear anything like how to kind of reverse that, or maybe why I do think I need that consistent routine. Maybe it's just because a lot of other people say they need it. And so I just kind of followed suit.
Yeah. Well, tell me a little bit more, like think back on your whole life. Like, when have you been told that consistency is better? Like, just give me some examples. I want to hear what you think.
I've just always, I mean, for as long as I can remember, like my mom is not very consistent, and like I used to want her to wake me up in the mornings at a certain time. And I mean, like in the second grade, this was, and she would come in and I would immediately go look at the clock and she'd be like 3 minutes late or something. And so I wanted her to take me to Walmart to buy an alarm clock in the second grade because I wanted to be on that routine. We had to leave the house for school at a certain time. So I don't know where it came from, but truly, like as far back as I can remember, maybe it came from my parents being divorced and just not feeling consistency. And so I wanted to kind of create it a little bit, and I could have went overboard with it.
Yeah, totally. And what's so fascinating is that a lot of this conditioning, we never really know the root of it, because it can even happen in the womb. It can happen when you're age zero, like you were just born and you're a little baby, and things can condition you a certain way. Even things can come in from past lives. And so it's weird and odd to try and find like the exact root for certain conditioning, but you can see like, wow, I have had this for a long time. I've always really craved consistency. I wonder where that's coming from. Also, I want to say just our culture, especially in America, really promotes consistency like big time. I mean, like look at school hours. It's very consistent. And everybody says things like, oh, you have to post on social media consistently. You have to consistently put out your podcast and your email list and all these things. We get a consistent paycheck, and that's better than random. And then it makes you wonder like, well, why? Like, who decided that? That's a man-made thing. When you go out and you look at nature, like look at squirrels, they don't have a clock or a calendar, and they are consistent in some ways and they're inconsistent in other ways. And they just have nature that guides them. Not that we have to be like a squirrel, but I always like to identify what is man-made. And this concept of it's better to be consistent, somebody made that up. That's not nature. And so you and I both have that arrow that tells us we're actually energetically built to be inconsistent. And this is one thing that I have truly started adopting slowly. The key with human design practice is to do it slow, because if you go and you try and change everything in your life all at once, your nervous system is not going to recognize what's going on. You're going to have these stress reactions and you're just not going to feel good. And you'll probably just go back to the way things used to be. So with this switch, if you want to start embracing being more inconsistent, I'm going to share a bunch of ideas, and most of these are things that I've done, but I've taken like a year and a half to slowly do them, and I allow them to come to me like I got a revelation about it, and then I'm going to slowly implement it. I didn't like pre-plan like in 6 months, I'm going to start doing this inconsistently. No, it's just as it comes, I'm remembering I'm inconsistent. So one thing, I have a podcast as well. And for the first over a year of it, maybe year and a half, I posted every Wednesday and I never missed it. And it was very stressful for me to do that. And it's not because I hate my podcast or I don't like it. I love it. It's my favorite thing about my life. But just the fact that it had to be every Wednesday was just really hard. And it just was a huge hurdle for me. And then it was so weird. New Year's morning, it was like 5 a.m. and I'm in my pajamas with like dirty hair recording the episode for, it was going to come out 2 days later. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, oh my God, why am I going to wait 2 days to post this just because it's a Wednesday and that's the schedule? Like, that's the dumbest thing I ever heard in my life. Like, who made that up? Like, it's ready. People could just start listening. Why not just press post right now? And I also noticed that I record my episodes at the most random times. And like, truly, it will be at like 5 a.m. or 3 p.m. or just whenever I'm just ready in the moment. But the way that I make my podcast appear is not like that. It looks so consistent and precise. And I was like, that's working. Like, people like it and it's fine. But I bet energetically it's not landing as well as it could if I actually embraced more of my design in the way I put this out there. So that morning on January 1st, I just was like, whatever, I'm going to post it 2 days early. Who cares? It's my life. Like, this is, I can do whatever I want. So I did. And then from that day on, I just stopped planning my podcast schedule. Like, and I announced to everybody, because I also think it's important to be responsible and to be like a good business person. And so I told my listeners, this is why I'm doing this. I am built to be inconsistent, and it's inauthentic for me to continue doing this every Wednesday. Like, that doesn't even make any sense. And there's really no reason. So I'm just going to make podcasts when I want, and then I'm going to post them. And I'm just going to see how it goes. And if I don't want to make a podcast for like over a month, sorry, I guess I'm not. And that hasn't happened. I've actually posted more. I had no idea what was going to come of it, but I've actually had weeks where I posted three episodes and then nothing for a week or two. And it's no reason. It's truly following my own design. And part of that is just being inconsistent. And I found that it's landing better for people. Same with my social media. So you can even look at that, like, if you have pressures around posting a consistent time or schedule or consistent way, you may want to play around with doing it more with your emotions. Like, does it make me happy to post this right now? And if it's a yes, great. And if you're like, no, but I don't know why, wait an hour and come back and ask again. Same with like anything else that you have going on in your life. Like, if you've been trying to have a morning routine or a specific exercise routine, try doing it a little bit more random. Because the way your brain works is that it knows when to do something in the moment. It knows. It's not stupid or lazy. It actually knows better than pre-planning a schedule. So you'll get better results from everything when you start to tune into, when is the moment that is the time to do this? Like, when is the moment that I'm ready to eat? For you, it's not ideal to pre-plan it. Does that kind of make sense?
Yeah, for sure. I used to be like what you said. I used to post every day, like at 8 o'clock in the morning. And one day I just woke up and was like, in a horrible mood. And I was just like, I don't want to, like, and I had done it for like 3 years, probably maybe even three and a half, four. And I was just like, I can't do it today. And so I'm like, what if I just wait until 3 o'clock today? It doesn't have to be nine. Like, who told me that? Like you said, and I did. And now I just post sometimes in the morning, sometimes in the evening, but I post every day. It's just when I want to. And so that's been a big relief. But, you know, of course I do so many different things that I feel like I have a lot of almost resentment or like bitterness or something built up, because I don't want to be like so scheduled out. But like you said, I'm trying to be respectful of other people and of like, partnerships or whatever that I'm in. And I love doing those, but it's like, I just need to figure out how to kind of not be so strict with myself and my schedule on it.
Yeah, I totally get that. And I have a lot of stuff scheduled as well. And I've found that one thing that works for me is to tr like, I don't want to have my weeks look the same. And it's hard because I don't know what I'm going to feel like that one week, but it's really helped me to have it where, like, certain weeks I'm really booked. Other weeks I just block off my schedule and I do it from an intuitive place where I'm like, I don't know, I'm just going to not allow booking that week and hope it works out. And it usually does. And then, like, I try to actually have different things on different days, meaning, like, I know a lot of people will block out where they only do this one thing on this one, like on Thursdays, and then they only do this other thing on Mondays. And if that's working, great. For me, I've learned, oh my God, I'm gonna die if I have to do that. And so I just run my schedule in a way where, like, I'll do any task on any day at any time that I think it's gonna work for me. Does that make
Yeah,
sense?
like if you just feel like it, you just do it.
Yeah, but also when I'm booking things, like, I don't have one day where I do podcast stuff. I'll do it any day that I sense that's going to work for me. Like, literally any day of the week, any time of day that I know I'm going to be able to show up well. Like, I'm not going to do it at 9 p.m. because I would be terrible at that time. I just know lots of business people think that it's going to make their business easier if they have these blocks consistently every week, where, like, this is the block where I do coaching calls. This is the block where I get my massage. This is the block where I do my podcasting. And for inconsistent people like you and I, that may not be the best idea. Like, you might want it to be random.
I need to stop doing that because, of course, I have like the day where I do hair and stuff, but I find that when I have a day where I'm going to batch record episodes or videos or something, that I just wake up so annoyed. Like I'm like, ew, I do not want to have to do what I've told myself I have to do for whatever reason. And it's like I just need to just wing it for, a month and see how I feel because truly not posting at 8 o'clock in the morning, like it felt so wrong in the beginning, but now I don't wake up feeling anxious and just mad. I literally used to wake up feeling so aggravated before I even stepped foot outside of my bed,
Yeah, and just think, like, that's really interesting, and it can feel misleading because maybe a part of you has been thinking, like, oh, is it because I don't like social media or I don't want to post? Maybe it was actually your soul being like, can we get off the schedule? Like, can you stop restricting me to a schedule because I know better? And your soul really knows, like, as an inconsistent person, I know when to push post. Because energetically, it's going to land so much better. And if I force it because of some arbitrary schedule, it's draining me. And for a consistent person, it's the opposite. Those people get drained by figuring it out in the moment. And so, yeah, just start to, like, layer that into your life and see how it, if it feels better or worse, because things are different for different people. You know, like, I consistently get up and have a glass of water first thing in the morning and then a glass of coffee or a cup of coffee. Like, I do not ever not do that in that order, like, in that way. And it is wonderful. And, like, I'm not going to change that because it feels so effortless and so good to me. But if something is not feeling effortless, it's probably out of alignment.
Yeah, and you said too that if a part of your chart, like if anyone listening has like looked at theirs or done any homework on their own, like if a part of your chart doesn't feel aligned like that one did for me, that's probably because how did you word it? I don't want to try to word it like you did.
It's probably, there's a few ways to look at it. One, maybe it hasn't been explained well. I want to acknowledge that. Like, sometimes a person doesn't explain it eloquently and you don't know what they mean. But if that's not the case, maybe you have conditioning. Like, you and I have clearly had some conditioning telling us in our life, like, it's better to be consistent. You're a better business person. You're smarter. You're healthier if you're consistent. You're going to be successful. Or this is something that we haven't talked about at all on here, but I talk about it all the time with my clients. A system that's in distortion loves to stay in distortion. So what I mean by that is that you have all these different systems. So you have a body, that's a system, like physical. You have an emotional system, you have a nervous system, you've got energetics, you have all this stuff going on that are these like systems running. And if one of those systems, or if all of them are out of whack, or I'm going to say in distortion, it actually wants to stay that way as long as you're not dead. So it wants to stay that way because it knows that it's safe enough to keep you alive. And if it's different, that's unfamiliar and scary. And what if you die? Mm-hmm. And it's it. And so, for example, if you have a body that is at a certain weight, like maybe you're heavier than you would want to be, your body is comfortable keeping you there because it knows that it's that you're not going to die. And so that's the most important thing, safety. You're not dead. So everything's fine. Let's not change anything so that we don't die. And it's just used to it. So if you do anything like eat healthier or exercise, you have to actually go through a period of your physical body like being confused. It's not confused. That's an unintelligent way to say it. But your body is going to be uncomfortable and in the unknown and frightened that this might be dangerous. Mm-hmm. And then it gets used to it because it's not dangerous. And then you have a new normal and then it's fine. Mm-hmm. And so that happens constantly in human design where you might find something like this consistency thing. Let's say you were like really resistant to trying to be less consistent. Like if you were like, no, I'm against that. Madeline is crazy. This is stupid. And I'm feeling over the top resistant to this. That is a great sign that your system knows that if you start changing your behaviors, you're going to change and you're going to evolve, which we know for the better, but your system doesn't know if that's better. And that's scary to your nervous system. Mm-hmm. And it just wants to stay the same because of safety reasons. You're mm-hmm. alive. You're not dead. Let's just keep it the same. And so your nervous system and your body are extremely intelligent, and they will often give you these blocks that make you think something's a terrible idea when really it's good for you, just simply for survival reasons. Mm-hmm. So when that happens, I always encourage people, put on your blinders, set aside your judgment, and try on this part of your human design like a costume. Just try being inconsistent in a very low stakes way and see if you are okay. Mm-hmm. And tell your body, I'm safe, and just try it and see if you actually end up really liking it. And like a very low stakes way to practice this would be if every day you go for a walk, go for a walk a different route. Mm-hmm. Like nothing bad is going to happen to you if you do that, probably. You'll just like be on a different route and then see like, oh my God, was that actually really freeing?
Mm-hmm. And it's slowly showing your body or your system that it's okay to do something a little bit different than the day before.
Yeah. And oftentimes people will come to me like so mad when they learn certain things about their chart and they sort of want to blame me. And it always makes me smile because I know what's going on. And then they'll admit a few days later, like, I tried it and I did not know my life could feel this good. Mm-hmm. Like, I had no idea that life could be this pleasurable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So. And that's what, like, if anyone listening hasn't looked at their human design, like, honestly, I know that, like, we didn't even touch on half of the stuff about human design because it's impossible to do that in an hour. But, mm-hmm. like, there's so much to it. And if you just give a little bit of open-mindedness to reading over it and just trying to implement it, you could be completely in line with how you're supposed to be, which would be awesome. But if you're feeling kind of stressed or not really 100%, like maybe just look it up really quick. And if they want to, because you do these one-on-one readings with people, like they, if someone listening wanted to set something like this up, how do they do that?
Yeah, they can just go to my website, which is madelineevergreen.com, and all my offerings are right there. So they can go to the human design tab on there to book a reading. And that's one-on-one. We could do it in person if you're in Minneapolis or online on Zoom. But I also do a lot of group programs, which in my opinion is like totally where it's at. Not that readings are bad or wrong. It's just that some people really prefer a group setting. And so check out any of those programs. I have one coming up soon, so you can find the information for that. It's called Manifest with Madeline. You can find all of that on my website or on my social media. And then I also have a free podcast called The Beginner's Guide to Human Design. And that's ideal for those of you who just heard this for the first time. You have no idea what this even is, and you just want to start dabbling a little more in a casual way. It's a really fun podcast that makes it so easy to understand the basics for people that haven't learned anything yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'm telling you, if you just try it out, I think that everybody will benefit from it in one way or another. You might not become obsessed with it like I have, but I see so much value in knowing this information, even if you just briefly read over it slightly and just check out your type and your strategy and like your emotion,
your authority.
So just knowing those tiny things, like she was saying, can make a huge difference. So thank you, Madeline, for doing this. And I know that there's going to be hopefully a influx of people in your DMs and in your emails trying to get more from you on this.
Oh my gosh. Thank you so much for having me on again, Samantha. This was really fun.
Okay, y'all, that's it for today's episode. Be sure to follow the show on whatever platform you're listening and leave a rating and review to show your support so we can continue growing together. If today's episode really resonated with you, you can always share it to your story and be sure to tag me so I can personally thank you. I appreciate each and every one of you, and I'll talk to you again next week.